Episode 34. On this special edition of the Leading Chaos Podcast, I have the pleasure to speak to someone who is showing us how to bring order to the world and create awareness. We're discussing the Great British Bed Push, a 60-day journey of 120 miles. It's one girl pushing one bed to raise money and awareness to set up a children's home for vulnerable kids. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We're sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Windcaller. Welcome to the show. Rosie Mae Erdale is a 25-year-old who founded Full Reach in 2013. Full Reach is a charity that she set up to fund a home for vulnerable children. Her goal is to raise £200,000 towards this cause, and she is doing it via donations and her willingness to promote Full Reach's cause by accomplishing uncanny tasks, such as she has already lived like the poorest people in the world on exactly £1 a day for 30 days. She also lived 4 days without the ability to hear, see, or speak. And that's just two of her notable accomplishments. Her newest and most present challenge is ongoing right now as she begins to set off to push a bed that will have wheels on it, a distance of 1,200 miles from London to Scotland, and this is to promote the need for children's beds and to continue raising money towards a goal of £200,000. Rosie Mae, welcome to the Leading Chaos Podcast.
Hi, Rhea. Thank you so much for having me on, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yes, it's my pleasure. Can you begin by telling me the name Full Reach? What is the origin of that?
Well, I named it Full Reach because I was very interested in charities, and I looked into it. I actually donated to a charity, and I researched them a bit, and found that the amount of money that was reaching the cause was such a low percentage of what was donated. So my ethos was for all the money to fully reach the cause. So that's where it came from originally.
Right, that's brilliant. And your newest challenge, I think I want to get right there because it's so remarkable to even think about this task. Can you tell us this this bed race? What is this? Where's your starting point and where are you going?
So I am pushing a bed from the very bottom of Britain, which is Land's End, right up to John O'Groats, which is the very, very top of Scotland. It's just me. I am sleeping in it every night and doing it all in pyjamas. The bed's got wheels, it's got brakes, but that's pretty much it.
My goodness. And how heavy is this bed going to be?
It's a work in progress at the moment. I mean, I'm trying to keep it light, but everything you add just adds weight. The weight isn't too much of an issue, but it is going to be a bit of a push, but I'll have to get back to you on the exact weight once I know. I'm thinking about 50 kilos.
Okay. And I did see a photo, and we'll try to get that up too on the show notes here, of the wheels and a bed when it actually is made. But it looks like you're in for like a serious push here. And when are you actually planning on starting this quest?
So I leave on the 1st of May. And yeah, it is going to be a bit of a push. As you can imagine, I have to carry quite a lot of things with me as well, and the logistics are quite difficult. Britain isn't a very flat country, so that's going to be interesting as well.
And is this going to be right on the road, going right along? I mean, there's not necessarily bike paths as you would have in other countries.
Well, my route, I've planned the whole route around cycle routes. So there is some roads on there, but I've tried to avoid too busy roads, mainly cycle paths, cycle lanes, but I've had to avoid walking paths because they're just too rough to actually push the bed across. Mm-hmm.
So how does one come up with the idea to, you know, it's one thing to want to set up a home for children's, and that's something I do want to get to, but how do you come up with this idea that, you know, geez, I think I'll build a bed and push it up towards Scotland?
Well, people ask me this a lot. I mean, most people, when I tell them what I'm doing, they think I'm completely mad. But I want to give children a safe place to sleep at night, and it just sort of came from there. I mean, my ideas, I don't know where they come from. It's almost as though I wake up with an idea. You know, the majority of them get thrown in the bin straight away, but this one, to me, just sort of stuck. I did a bit of research on it, and I found no one had done it before. So I thought, hey, why not give it a go?
Yeah. Well, I think it's just an amazing idea, and it ties in so well, the idea for a children's home. Now, there's a lot of different charities that one can work towards. Is there a reason why you chose to fund a nonprofit children's home?
Well, I've worked in children's homes, and I know people who've grown up in care. It's something I'm very, very, very passionate about. You know, some of these children have come from the most difficult lives you can imagine. Mm-hmm. From working in them and researching, I found that most of them make quite a lot of profit. And there's a huge bank of money there that could be used to better those young people's lives in the most incredible way. I mean, life is not all about money, but money can give you opportunities that you might not have had. And I'm just so passionate about putting the children first, putting the young people in a position where they can achieve amazing things. You know, they're not bad kids, but they do have behaviours that are very, very difficult to deal with, very, very difficult to deal with. And a lot of these young people, their future doesn't look very bright, but with the right staff, with the right provisions, and with the money put in the right places, and with a non-profit ethos, I do genuinely believe that for some, their life can be turned around.
And just a little bit more about that. So you had this idea for starting a children's home, and I do agree with you. It's a necessity, and it's a great cause. Now, is that something that you are working with other organizations with, this idea to set up a home? Do you have more on that, or is this the dream and the vision there, and as you're moving along with these tasks and raising funds and you get closer to the monetary goal that you're going to go to that next step, what stage of the process are you in?
Well, I have advice from a lot of different organizations. I mean, I'm the person sort of pushing it forward in terms of the practical advice, and, you know, it's a minefield trying to set up a children's home. There are so many things you have to consider. Mm-hmm. And I'm built up quite a good network of organizations that are helping me with different factors. At the moment, I wanted to keep it very much within full reach so as not to let otherwise organizations influence it in any way, because I have this vision of how I believe it should be. But as time goes on, obviously any help from other organizations will become more and more important. Mm-hmm. Doing things alongside the local councils, the local young people services, for example, is an absolute necessity. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, it really is a case of taking advice from everybody, making sure that you're doing things in line with regulations, but making sure that the vision is the focal point of everything.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, in preparing, I mean, May 1st is coming right up. We're doing this interview on Friday, and it is April 17th, so that's not too far away. What are you doing physically to prepare for this? I don't know, you know, folks could look at a photo of you, and what I see of you, you know, you're not a woman of large stature like me. I'm probably a lot bigger. You know, how do you physically prepare for this?
Well, it's a struggle. I mean, I work 8 to 6 every day because I have to fund my own life. I don't make any money from the charity. So it's hard to fit it in, but I've been doing a lot of walking, you know, 6-hour walking stints. That's what I'm expecting to be doing, 6 to 10 hours a day. I've actually put on a stone over the period of time that I've been doing it. I'm eating as much as I can because I will need the extra reserves. Apart from that, it is really just walking whenever I can. I mean, when I come home, you know, I finish work, I come home, I put the TV on, and I stand in front of the TV and walk on the spot, which I know sounds really peculiar, but it's a good way to fit the training in, because it's just, it's so difficult fitting it around everything, you know, when you have another life to live as well. So, yeah, mm-hmm. walking.
Mm-hmm. And could you tell us a little bit about what you do for work, what when you're not working on Full Reach?
I actually do quite a few things. I really like to get a good feel for the whole spectrum from birth to adult of care. So I look after children in nurseries. I work in children's homes. I look after disabled adults. I do quite a lot of different things, but it's all within care, and I absolutely love it. But my passion is working with children with behavioral problems.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Great. And so on the topic of just that preparation, what does Rosie do when she gets up in the morning? I mean, what kind of breakfast do you have? And what can we expect, you know, imagine you getting up on the road during this, you're calling it a bed race, is that correct?
A bed push. I mean, it's just me, so I'm not racing anybody. But, yeah, my mornings, well, so I get up at 5. I make a veg juice. I have some porridge. I take about 7 different vitamins to support my joints and my muscles. Get ready, go to work. I work a 10-hour day. Come home and eat and walk. I'm living, obviously, a very healthy lifestyle, no sugar, really trying to build as much strength as I can, and eating a lot of vegetables. On the actual bed push, my diet is going to be tricky because I'm not going to have the facilities that I need. So I will have a little camping stove. So it's going to be porridge and tinned foods, but I do need to up my calories by about 1,300 calories a day. So that is one thing that is going to be very, very difficult, is carrying food, cooking food, and sourcing it, because there's a big part of my walk, about 10 days where I go through Scotland, where I don't think I pass a shop at any point.
Ah, and that must be near the tail end of it, or in the middle, because you're putting out like forecasting like 60 days to do this, correct?
Yeah, 60 days, so it's about 20 miles a day, and that is a safe bet. I'd like to push it to maybe 25 miles a day and do it in a slightly shorter time, but I wanted to be realistic so that I wasn't damaging my body.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what is your support? What does your family think about this, and your friends?
Well, it's mixed. I mean, a lot of people are very encouraging. A lot of people think I'm mad. My support network, I mean, it is pretty much me doing it. I have got people who've offered to help along the way. But I'm planning to do it so that I don't need the help, just in case somebody wasn't able to be there. So I have to sort of do it quite independently, because it's such a big ask for anybody to support me for that amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Do you need a special permit to push a bed in the United Kingdom?
No. Now, this is something I had to do a bit of research on, because I was concerned whether there were any laws as to pushing the bed on roads. But I have been in contact with the police and they have said there's no law against it, just that I need to inform the local authorities as I pass through each area.
And are you wearing reflective pajamas?
They're not. My pajamas won't be reflective, but I will have a reflective, I'm not sure what you call it, something that goes over your shoulder.
A vest?
That I'll be wearing.
Okay.
Yeah, like a vest. But I will be pushing it more in daylight hours because it wouldn't be safe for me to be pushing it on roads at night.
Mm-hmm. And what are you wearing on your feet?
Well, I considered walking boots, but I've gone for trainers because I figured walking boots are more for when you're walking off-road. So I'm carrying a few pairs of just normal trainers.
Mm-hmm. So you're not doing it in slippers?
No.
Because I do know that you were barefoot. That was one of your other past challenges that you took on. Could you tell me? Go ahead.
Yeah, of course. When I did my Living on a Pound a Day challenge, I had mini challenges along the way that were when I reached certain financial goals. So one of them was that I walked barefoot. And that was just really because a lot of people in the world don't actually have shoes. It's something that we don't really appreciate. So I walked around my local area, and my local area is... it's very interesting, it's very diverse. You know, I was getting some very funny looks. And the hard part wasn't actually how it felt on your feet. It was more the way people looked at you. Because, you know, to see somebody in this country walking without shoes on is a very, very strange sight. But my feet were filthy when I got home. It wasn't It wasn't enjoyable.
And you did that for a month? Or 30 days?
No, I lived on a pound a day for 30 days. I walked barefoot. It was about a mile and a half barefoot.
Wow.
So it was just one of my mini challenges. Alongside that, I did a night sleeping on the streets. I did a day without hot water. So I had a bath in freezing cold water. I did a day without gas and electricity. And I did a day without running water. So I had to collect all my water for that day and carry it.
What I think is so honorable about the different challenges that you take on, it really brings to light the simple things in life that we take for granted, and you really bring it to the forefront at a level that I really haven't seen others do before. I think it's really courageous, but it's also very innovative, and it allows those of us who do have the opportunity to buy a pair of shoes or can have a little bit more food than what we could afford for 1 pound a day and bring us along a little gently sometimes so that we could be open to the possibilities instead of just, you know, demanding that we help others. You do it in a way that really makes symbolism so, so powerful. So I want to thank you for that.
Oh, not at all. I mean, it's something that speaks to me personally. I mean, I grew up in a household of a single parent on benefits. And for the country that I live in, you know, we were poor. When I was 12, my mum sent me to school in Brazil, and I stayed with a Brazilian family, and I went to a Brazilian school, and I saw poverty, and I realised how lucky I am. I have shoes on my feet, I have a bed to sleep in, I have food on the table. I might not have everything that other people have, but I have so much, and I think it really spoke to me. And I think that's why I wanted to push myself in these challenges, because it's about giving people who don't have those things, giving them the opportunity to have them. Because even in the UK, there are children out there who don't get enough to eat, who don't have a safe place to go at night. And I think that's why it's really, really spoken to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for listeners who want to follow this new challenge, pushing a bed, did you say the bootleg or the bottom of the UK? Is that what you called it? London?
It's called Land's End.
Okay,
London.
Okay, London. Well, I certainly know London, absolutely. And all the way up to, to Scotland. And that's a distance of 1,200 miles.
The route that I'm doing is 1,200 miles. The quickest route driving is actually 867 miles. But obviously, because I'm pushing a bed, I have to go in a very wiggly line. It's very, very wiggly. If anybody goes onto my website, you can have a look at the route and you'll see it's certainly not a straight line at all.
So why don't we tell the listeners how to follow you and some of the links here. And again, I want to just remind listeners that they could go, if you don't get to write this down, you could go to leadingchaospodcast.com and we will have the links there for this episode. So how would folks follow along on this bed push?
Thank you, Ria. Well, the easiest way would be to go to my website, which is www.fullreach.co.uk, and Full Reach is spelt FullReach. And from there you can get links to my Twitter, Facebook, there's links to donate, you can have a look at my route, you can have a look at my business plan, all my policies, procedures, all the paperwork. Really, that's a link to everything. There's also ways to contact me if you have any questions, which I love questions. Please don't hesitate to contact me. Or if you're on Twitter, you can find me at Full Reach. Or Facebook, just search for Full Reach Children's Projects.
Now, you will be, I'm sure, tweeting as you're going along on this this long, long walk, bed push. I'm going to start calling it bed push. Is there going to be any other things that you'll be doing? Will you have and how are you charging your phone and whatnot while you're out and about? Do you have landing points, or you're just going to pull into a parking lot?
Well, I will be tweeting as often as I can. I've got rechargeable, you know, emergency phone batteries that you you plug your phone into and you can get a bit of charge. And I'll have a few of them, so every few days I'll have to find somewhere to stop and fully charge them. I also have to find places to stop and have showers and things like that. So I'll be recharging as I go. Campsites. I won't be staying in hotels, but hotels along the way I'll be asking if I can use their electricity and things like that. I will be updating my YouTube account with videos every so often. You can find them on my website. I'll try and put them on Twitter and Facebook, but it is going to be a struggle keeping communication in certain areas, because you don't get signal in quite a lot of areas, especially in Scotland.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're really depending on the goodwill of others along this bed push. And one of the things that you're looking for the goodwill is for folks to donate. So could you tell us, is there any structure? How can people donate to this cause?
Well, people can donate any amount, really. I have set something up so people can sponsor me per mile. So if you were to sponsor me just one penny per mile, that's about £12. 2p a mile is £24. 3p is £36. But really, people can donate any amount that they like through the website. There'll be a link to donate, and I think you can go from as little as a pound. You can also donate in any currency you like. I have raised, I think, about, from my previous challenges, about £6,500 so far. So I'm a long way off my target yet.
Well, then all the more reason to get the word out and encourage listeners to share this story with others and to follow Rosie on her push up from London to Scotland, raising awareness and also raising funds for a children's home. And we will, again, have those links on the show notes, but you could follow Rosie on Twitter at Full Reach, and you could also Google Full Reach. You will come up to her website, and she does have a Facebook page. So it is a great cause to be part of, and I know I'll be definitely rooting you on and giving little updates too and staying in touch with you as you go along this journey. I know that you're going for the goodwills of others. We want to wish you safe travels.
Thank you to anybody who donates, or if you can't donate, you know, share or retweet or get the word out there, because I really can't do this without other people. I'm so touched and overwhelmed by the support that I've had so far from people, and you know, it really spurs me on. I couldn't do it without you guys, and I'm really touched. Every single person that comments, that donates, that, you know, supports me along the way, and it really does mean a huge amount.
Yes, indeed, it does mean a huge amount to Rosie. You can support her at fullreach.co.uk. Those links are at the show notes for leadingchaospodcast.com. And you could watch along on her travels up from the bottom of the UK to the north in Scotland. It's an amazing, amazing trail that she's going on. And it really speaks to me, and I hope to you, on how one person, a 25-year-old, is setting off to bring a little bit more order in the world, albeit doing something what I would consider uncanny, pushing a bed. And yet, why not? Sometimes thinking out of the box is exactly what you need to do when leading chaos. It was so much my pleasure, really, talking to Rosie right before she sets off on this journey. So I wish her the best, and I do hope that you could donate and send along your regards to her as she goes forward. Meanwhile, next week we'll be back to our regular programming, going with a Leading Chaos story. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. As always, be kind, be safe, and support Rosie's challenge at Full Reach. Ciao for now.